Hey Hennes fans, thank you so much for your listenership and support throughout 2023. The team is taking a break throughout December, but we will be releasing full versions of some of our most popular stories to tide you through until the new year, where we will come back with even more heinous cases. Nine people have been murdered, but they don't know this yet. On the 24th of October, 2017, no one knew anything except that Aiko Tamura hadn't contacted her brother for 3 days. While it wasn't unusual for a 20-year-old to be living independently, Aiko Tamura had suffered from depression growing up. So, just to be sure of her well-being, her brother would keep in touch with her every day. Worried and concerned about Aiko, her brother logged into her Twitter account. Let's see, her brother might have thought as he opened all of Aiko's threats one by one. With each threat, he found an account that appeared over and over again. An account with the handle Hanging Pro. He clicked on it. Oh God, her brother might have whispered unknowingly as he couldn't stop reading. I want to spread my knowledge in hanging. I really want to become the source of strength for everyone who is in pain. If you are at a dead end, please consult me. Aiko's brother looked down at the hashtags, hashtag suicide recruitment. That day, he would have posted on his sister's Twitter feed, indicating his identity and hoped that someone who knew Hanging Pro would help him. He might have then gone to bed only to wake up in a nightmare for the next few weeks, because the post would trigger a message back, leading to an undercover operation to discover the bodies of 9 victims on Halloween in a house owned by the Hanging Pro. In the horror house of Takahiro Shiraishi, where they found his sister's remains. This is Heinous, an Asian true crime podcast brought to you by MediaCorp and produced by 1UP Media. Japan is considered as one of the safest countries in the world. Criminal activity is actually on par, if not lower than Singapore's. The main reason for the low crime rate in the country is due to its strict laws and the efficiency of its police force. While crime in Japan is rare, it does happen time to time. On average, homicide rates are measured by cases per 100,000. Over the past 20 years, homicide rates in Japan have been gradually declining. From 0.5 cases per 100,000 in 2001, it fell to 0.3 cases per 100,000 in 2020. So, Japan seems to be extremely safe when you compare it to a country like El Salvador, with the highest homicide rate in the world at a staggering 52 per 100,000. You would think, with the advent of technology, it would be harder for criminals to hide in the shadows. Because over the years, there has been a massive advancement in modern forensic technology. Forensic scientists can now sequence a DNA sample and identify traits of a suspect, including hair, eye, and skin color. It can even predict age and biological background. But this didn't stop Takahiro Shiraishi. In fact, he would go on to make history by proving that while technology would bring criminals out into the open, so will it bring victims. A high school girl might have been lying in bed with her head pressed flat against the pillow. Her eyes were soaking and her mind was in pain. She was recalling all the threats, insults, and name-calling in her classroom. She felt the bruises on her arms and back that she had endured in the walkways of her high school. She felt all alone, isolated from her classmates. She might have turned on her back, wiped her tears, and pulled out her phone to post on Twitter. I'm at a dead end life. Why does existing hurt so much? she posted. She looked over and realized she had received a direct message. Let's die together. The girl might have stopped crying, her mind racing. Finally, my pain can stop. According to the records, Takahiro Shiraishi's victims were mainly women and fairly diverse in age, from as low as 15 to 26. But they would all have one thing in common, appearing suicidal on Twitter. Suicide rates in Japan have been declining across the past 20 years, from 25 per 100,000 people to about 15 right before COVID. That still puts them at about 50% higher than a world average of 9. The reason behind the high suicide rates varies by age groups and are diverse. Amongst the young, bullying in school is often the reason, while among the older, it could be isolation or overwork. But because suicide is more prevalent in Japan, it seeps into many aspects of the local culture. From Aokigahara, a forest nicknamed the Suicide Forest, to a book titled The Complete Manual of Suicide. Naturally, suicide finds its way onto the World Wide Web as well, particularly onto Twitter, which is Japan's most popular social media site. About 50% of Japanese people use Twitter every month. That's about 60 million monthly users. And one such user was the Hanging Pro, a man named Takahiro Shiraishi, who would successfully message potential suicide victims to meet, a skill he had honed over a year ago working in Shinjuku, Tokyo. Takahiro might have been seated by the bar in Kabukicho. Despite how brightly lit the streets were, his eyes were peeled on the lookout for models. Given the opportunity, Takahiro might have identified someone with light, flawless skin, large eyes, and double eyelids. The girl would have a slim, petite figure, slender legs, and a quiet personality. But that was if Takahiro was given the opportunity. Instead, he might have settled for finding a desire in their eyes, a desire to be noticed, and an attire that reflected this ambition. Specifically, he sought out women in miniskirts and tight clothing who found themselves walking on the wrong side of Kabukicho. He was looking for porn models. When Takahiro Shiraishi was caught, it came as a huge surprise to many people. Firstly to his ex, a lady who had cohabited with him just a year ago in 2016, would describe him as a gentle character who was never angry with women. In fact, when she wanted to break up with him, there was no violence. Instead, he hugged her and begged her not to go. Secondly, to his neighbors. His current neighbors would describe him as a cheerful, kind, and polite man, while those who knew him when he was younger would say he was a quiet child who was able to socialize with neighbors. This wasn't hard to believe because Takahiro Shiraishi seemed to have all the makings of an ordinary person. He was born in Zama, a city located in Kanagawa Prefecture, Japan, and famous for its sunflower festivals and fields. He had a seemingly wholesome family growing up, with parents and a younger sister. While his grades were not stellar, he was often called a conscientious student by his teachers, who claimed he never missed a day of school. Takahiro also participated in student life, joining his junior high's baseball team as a freshman and then the track team as a senior. Everything progressed ordinarily, even when he started his new high school in Yokohama. But at age 16, things started falling apart. His parents got a divorce and his mother moved out with his 4-year-old sister. His father would also have less time for him as he opened a car modification factory to make ends meet. This would have taken a toll on Takahiro, and at age 18, after graduating, he didn't pursue further education and began working odd jobs. He would spend the next 7 years working in supermarkets, food factories, and even for his father, before the beginning of 2015, when an acquaintance offered him a job that would pay more than he had ever gotten before. He would be a scout for pornographic services at Kabukicho, Shinjuku District in Tokyo, an entertainment district best known for its adult-oriented nightlife. It was here that he cut his teeth at identifying women who were most desperate for spare cash. And here, that he would practice convincing women to accompany guests to the bar and to massage at parlors. So dedicated was he to practicing this craft that people who frequented Kabukicho started noticing and even posting about him on Twitter. Creepy scalp. Watch out for this scalp. Takahiro is an ambitious, dangerous man who is capable of betrayal. But as Takahiro dived deeper into the industry, he would learn that the real money wasn't in convincing girls, but in duping them. And he set his sights on Tsuchiura City in Ibaraki Prefecture, a stone's throw away from Tokyo. The sex industry in Japan is complicated and polarizing. Despite prostitution being illegal since 1956, some estimates value the industry as high as $24 billion, which is equivalent to every Japanese person spending about $200 a year. The astounding market value is fueled by loose enforcement of the Prostitution Prevention Law, which allowed the birth of soaplands. Soaplands operate as private bathhouses on legal premises, which allow time for patrons to enter and bathe with the soap girls inside. Because they have spent time together, it is understood that both have embarked on a free love relationship, meaning that they've fallen in love. The law allows all acts, including sex, as long as both parties agree that they are in love. Of course, love in this case is a consensual transaction of cash from patron to soap girl, with some sessions costing as much as $1,200. So there was tons of money to be made, and Takahiro would have understood that as well. And yet, despite the looseness of the law, Takahiro's greed would get the better of him. It was early 2017, and Takahiro might have been heading over from Tokyo to Ibaraki, followed by a girl. "How much money will we make?" the girl might have asked. "What's your day job?" he could have replied. "A cashier." Takahiro looked at the train map as they approached their destination. "Well, you might make more than your month's wages tonight alone." The girl might have walked out excitedly behind Takahiro, thinking to herself, "A month's wages? Wow. And all I have to do is entertain some lonely man tonight. This is going to be easy." Evening came, and Takahiro was walking with the girl. "Are you ready to make some money?" he might have asked. She followed him. They came to a soapland. "Wait a minute," she might have thought. "I thought we're going to a bar." He ushered her in, and they found themselves cramped up beside a bunch of men twitching and whispering to each other. Their eyes slid down from her face to her legs. Her stomach sank. She knew something was wrong. Tonight wasn't gonna be one of those usual nights of pleasantries and flirtatious laughter. Instead, she was likely being pressed aggressively into prostitution. While the records were unclear on the specifics of what happened, it was clear to the eyes of the law that Takahiro had tricked a young woman into non-consensual sexual services in early 2017. And for this, he was handed a suspended jail sentence. As Takahiro heard the verdict, he might have felt a loneliness creeping in, as dark thoughts flooded his mind. "Why do I feel so empty inside?" This feeling would have followed Takahiro from the courtroom back to his home, and even when he faced his father. "Are you all right, son?" There was no reply. Takahiro's father noticed his son looking blankly at the wall as his eyes started to glimmer. "Hey, Dad, I don't know why I'm alive." In June 2017, Takahiro Shiraishi was reported to have showed signs of suicidal tendencies when he uttered this sentence to his father. But in that split second, Takahiro Shiraishi might have discovered his life's purpose and headed up to his room. He would sit in front of his computer and log on to Twitter, except this time, he wouldn't be logging into his account. Takahiro would have clicked sign up with phone or email and began creating another account. Hanging Pro, he typed. On the account, he would upload an avatar of an anime man with red abrasions and scars all over his neck and wrist. He would also be wearing a noose as a necktie. He would then repeat the process again, creating another account loosely named I Want to Die. With the first account, he would assume the role of a master at suicide, a beacon of hope to those afraid to kill themselves. While on the second account, he would assume the role of a victim to life, ready to kill himself and vanish from the world completely. Takahiro Shiraishi logged onto Hanging Pro and might have searched for suicide. He scrolled through several posts before stumbling on an account that intrigued him. The account of Mizuki Miura, aged 21 years old. He started typing a direct message before he hit send. Nine people have been murdered, and they still don't know this yet. On the 31st of October 2017, no one knew anything in Japan except that Halloween was here. Halloween is a unique event in Japan because of the cosplay subculture that already exists. Cosplay is where fans dress up as popular anime characters to a high degree of accuracy, from donning wigs to building the characters' weapons. This, coupled with the familiar influence of commercialization, makes costume making and dress-up on Halloween a blockbuster event that draws thousands of onlookers and participants. But according to the original Halloween tradition, costumes were meant as disguises to avoid being terrorized by the evil spirits that walk the earth during the Celtic festival Samhain. If one was not careful, these evil spirits could see through your disguise and walk you to your death. On the morning of Halloween in 2017, an evil spirit would come alive in the form of Takahiro Shiraishi, who walked nine victims to the other side in a span of 3 months. Takahiro Shiraishi would have been a seemingly ordinary-looking man, wearing a cheerful, kind, and polite mask, but disguising the depravity within, a depravity that had already been bubbling since he was in elementary school. It might have been summer in Japan. The sounds of cicadas would have filled the air. It was just after school, and Takahiro Shiraishi was heading to the benches with his friends. "Shall we play the game?" he might have asked. The boys started pairing up with each other, and for a moment, you could have thought they were playing a game of tag. Then, one of the boys placed their hands gently on Takahiro's neck, forming a firm loop across his windpipe.
"Go ahead,"
Takahiro might have said. The boy gently squeezed his neck before digging deeper and deeper into his throat.
"Squeeze harder,"
Takahiro might have gasped as his eyes started rolling up. He could see the edges of his vision turning dark. Then a tingling sensation crept in from his hands and feet. His tongue felt heavy, maybe about 3 to 4 times its usual weight. Then he heard a ringing sound before waking up. Takahiro shook off the inertia of his momentary nothingness as his friends peered over him worried.
"Hey, Takahiro, how do you feel? You choked out."
He might have looked at everyone, barely managing a single word.
"I feel euphoric."
In the last episode of Heinous, we learned that Takahiro Shiraishi was responsible for murdering 9 people. To many, Takahiro was an ordinary guy, but we know that a divorce in his family led him down a wayward path, ending with a criminal record for tricking women into prostitution. This was the turning point that had made the cheerful, kind and polite neighbor the murderer that he was. He started by making 2 Twitter accounts to source for his victims, people who were on the brink of suicide. This was how he met his first victim, 21-year-old Mizuki Mura. Mizuki Mura was on Twitter one night. She may have typed, "I'm done with this life. I'm done, I'm done, I'm done." And it was posted. For over a month, she had been updating her Twitter feed about her hopelessness in life, but no one seemed to care. Until the 8th of August 2017, when she received a DM. "Do you still want to die? I want to commit suicide too. Let's be friends." The direct message read. She looked at the account handle, Hanging Pro, and might have thought, maybe he can help me end this. Over the next 3 days, Mizuki Mura and the Hanging Pro would talk constantly. And on the 11th of August, they would decide to meet up in a cafe. At the end of the night, both would become friends and Mizuki Mura would introduce the Hanging Pro to her good friend, Shogo Nishinaka, a 20-year-old man looking to die as well. There is little record of Shogo Nishinaka. In fact, sources differ on whether he was her good friend or her boyfriend, but at first glance, you might have thought you've identified the wrong man. Because Shogo Nishinaka seemed to have everything most guys would have wanted. He looked like an influencer in all his photos, he was a keen sportsman, and he played in a band. According to some sources, what pushed him to become suicidal was his breakup with his girlfriend of a few years. This was how he ended up meeting the Hanging Pro. To Shogo Nishinaka, meeting the Hanging Pro might have been pivotal, as some sources claimed that he had already tried committing suicide by joining different interest groups. These groups would have gathered together, made a suicide pact, and executed themselves on an agreed-upon day. Except that they didn't. In the 2 groups that he had joined, everyone eventually found a reason to live and left the suicide pact. This left Shogo Nishinaka alone and possibly looking for a sensei. The Hanging Pro would have seemed like the perfect candidate for a mentor, having claimed that he had helped people cross over before. All through August, the trio would meet regularly and talk often about suicide, giving solace to the account owner of the Hanging Pro. Ironically, this might have even provided a reason for him to live. Back at home, Takahiro Shiraishi lived with his father. His dad might have wanted to keep an eye on him. After all, it had been just a couple of weeks since he told his father, "I don't know why I'm alive." But in the past few days, he might have sensed that things were looking up.
Maybe he was just feeling emotional that day,
his father could have thought.
"Hey dad, could I ask for a loan?"
Takahiro Shiraishi might have asked one day.
"What for?" "Well, you're not gonna believe this, but dad, I have found the love of my life."
Takahiro's father could not believe it.
"Things are truly looking up. I'm so happy for you, son. Come, tell me, how much do you need?"
he might have replied. Over the course of the month of August, Takahiro Shiraishi experienced a depth of companionship that changed what he sought out to do with the Hanging Pro account. Guided by love and the sense of connection he felt with Mizuki Mura, he mustered the courage and asked her to live with him. Instead of finding victims, he had found love in a kindred soul. Takahiro Shiraishi decided that a 13.5 square meter apartment in Zama, Kanagawa Prefecture would be the perfect place to build a home. His father, whom he was reportedly close to, would be overjoyed and act as a guarantor for the apartment at 19,000 yen a month. But while it took weeks to change Takahiro Shiraishi's intentions, it would only take a few days to change them back.
We'll be right back.
It was the 22nd of August 2017, and in Japan, it would have been the hottest month of the year, which was why Mizuki Miura and Takahiro Shiraishi decided to stay in at their newly rented house in Zama, Kanagawa. Prior to the couple moving in, we know that Takahiro Shiraishi's father acted as a guarantor for the house. However, sources also claim that he had borrowed an additional 500,000 yen from Mizuki Miura, which was why, over the last few days, tension had begun to build up between the pair, but it was also largely due to the fact that Mizuki Miura had refused Takahiro's advances. He might have felt the sweat on his forehead as he lay down on the floor, staring at the ceiling. Just inches away, Miura was lying down as well. Takahiro couldn't help but enjoy the sweetness of her scent. Unconsciously, he felt himself inch closer towards her. Bit by bit, until he could feel the tingling of his arm as it brushed hers. His heart was racing. He prayed that she wouldn't move away. "God, she smells so good." He let his arm close in beside hers, relishing the sensation of their hairs touching each other. Miura didn't move. "Maybe she wants it," he started thinking, and he inched even closer.
"Maybe she wants it."
"Why are you so close to me again, Takahiro?" she interrupted. Despite the summer heat, it felt like a cold wind had entered the room.
"I don't get what you mean,"
he might have said. She moved away from him, and for a moment, he could no longer smell her scent in the air.
"You know what?" Miura turned towards him and said, "When are you gonna pay me back?"
Takahiro was getting annoyed and might have thought, "Why is the love of my life saying this?"
"I said, when will you pay me back?" Miura continued. "You are a person who constantly wants to die. Why do you need the money?"
Takahiro's temple began to throb.
"It's mine if I die," Miura replied.
The sweat on his forehead dripped into his eyes, and for a second, it blinded him. Takahiro might have looked upon Mira's naked, lifeless body on the ground, her arms and neck tied to a rope and legs spread wide apart. Each limb looked limp, like they had been severed from her body. Takahiro headed out and bought some cat litter, the biggest cooler boxes that he could find, and some tools before rushing back home. He might have started filling the cooler boxes with cat litter before dragging Mira into the toilet where he turned on the fan for ventilation. He would have then made multiple trips down to the neighborhood garbage point as he dismembered her body, ripping the flesh off their bones. Because he thought human bones might be recognizable by how it looks, he would drop them into the cooler boxes filled with cat litter to mask the smell of their decomposing. In about 3 days, Miura was reduced to bones buried in cat litter.
"It was difficult at first. It took me 3 days to get rid of the first body."
Takahiro Shiraishi would have been quoted speaking to the police. Through this difficult time, Takahiro Shiraishi might have been jotting down notes, because after Miura, he would decide to kill 8 more victims, 4 in September and 4 in October. Except this time, he would only take 1 day each to rend the flesh from their bones. Mizuki Mira's disappearance would have gone unnoticed if not for her friend Shogo Nishinaka, who realized on the 22nd of August 2017 that she hadn't been replying to his messages ever since she visited Takahiro Shiraishi. So he decided to drop by a few days later without knowing that this visit would cement for Takahiro Shiraishi his modus operandi for killing his subsequent victims. It was sometime between the end of August to early September 2017 when Shogo Nishinaka arrived at an apartment in Zama,
Kanagawa Prefecture. He was there to visit Takahiro Shiraishi, his suicide sensei. But this time, he wasn't there to kill himself. Over the course of the past few days, Shogo Nishinaka had an awakening and found a reason to live. He arrived at the train station and met Takahiro, who walked him back to his apartment. Upon arriving, a foul stench hit Shogo Nishinaka.
Takahiro, do you smell that too?
He might have asked.
Yeah, the sewer is blocked. What can you expect from an apartment that costs 19,000 yen a month?
Takahiro might have replied.
True, true.
They sat down on the tatami mats, and Takahiro brought out a bottle of oolong tea from the refrigerator and passed it to him. Tea has often been regarded as a stress reliever, and while the reasons aren't completely clear, a key hypothesis is the presence of L-theanine and caffeine. These compounds work in unison to reduce cortisol and stress levels, which is why when Shogo Nishinaka felt relaxed, he wasn't alarmed. But Takahiro's oolong tea had other ingredients to reduce stress levels, including a cocktail of sleeping pills and tranquilizers. Shogo Nishinaka would have started feeling weak, yawning repeatedly. If the dosage was high enough, he would have seen his peripheral vision go dark before his vision blurred. Then, he would go to sleep and never wake up again. That day, Takahiro Shiraishi would have solidified his modus operandi, because Shogo Nishinaka was a man. Up until then, the majority of his victims had been women, which made it easy for him to apply force and aggression to take them down. But with Shogo Nishinaka, he had to find creative ways to weaken him, which he realized could also be applied to all his other victims. The Twitter killer's modus operandi was now clear. He would identify his victims on Twitter through keywords associated with suicide, then meet them by the train station near his house and feed them sedatives before dismembering them in his home. Depending on his mood, he would have strangled or raped the victims during the process. He operated from August all through October, right up until his ninth victim, Aiko Tamura's brother, logged into a Twitter account after she went missing. A sting operation would follow, and the police would arrive on Takahiro Shiraishi's doorstep on Halloween morning of 2017, expecting to question him and receive coy answers.
You ready?
An inspector was talking to his partner, who nodded back. He pressed the doorbell. As expected, a lean built man answered the door.
Are you Takahiro Shiraishi? The inspector asked. Yes, what do you want?
The inspector peered through the gaps of the door and into the apartment. He noticed a familiar white bag before looking back at his partner. They both knew they had their guy. The problem now was how to find enough evidence and get him to confess.
Takahiro Shiraishi, could we come in?
The apartment was about 13.5 square meters with a loft bed. For context, a typical two-room flat in Singapore is about 36 square meters. As they entered, a white cooler box stood in a doorway. They stepped over it to find about seven more such boxes, stacked in various configurations. The ventilator fan was on, but it didn't do much to extinguish the telling odor that permeated through the air.
Where did you get that white bag?
The inspector asked, though he already knew the answer.
I got it from a girl. She left it here,
Takahiro might have said.
So, where is she then?
Takahiro lifted his hand and pointed at a cooler, all the way at the end of the room. The inspector walked over, his heart racing.
This is not what I expected at all.
For some reason, on the 31st of October 2017, Takahiro Shiraishi would confess on the spot to killing all his victims and storing them inside his house within coolers and toolboxes. A total of 9 human heads and 240 bones were found all over the apartment. In the years that followed,
Takahiro would share with the police in detail his modus operandi and the motive for his killings, which, according to him, was money and sex. A sensational hearing took place, wherein his lawyers made two arguments in his defense. First, of diminished responsibility, because Takahiro was not of sound mind. He did, after all, inform his father weeks before the murder that he did not understand why he was alive. The second was the existence of tacit agreements between Takahiro and the victims, which meant the murders were consensual since the victims were suicidal. But both of these did not hold up in court. The psychologists were determined that he was sane, and it was hard to believe that his victims would consent to being drugged or struck unaware and abused before their deaths. In court, Takahiro Shiraishi was quoted saying in Japanese, "I am sorry for having killed some of the victims with whom I spent a lot of time with, and I would like to apologize to these families. But for the others, I don't really feel a sense of regret. In any case, I'm sorry only because I failed when I got caught. If they hadn't caught me, I would regret nothing." The case also gained a lot of attention because Takahiro went against his own attorneys, insisting that the hearing should end faster and that he was happy to receive the death penalty. This was a wish he was granted on the 15th of December 2020, and he would now wait out his years until the day of his execution. The Twitter killer case also led to conversations on the role of social media in the discussion of suicide. Twitter's founder, Jack Dorsey, commented that it was very unfortunate and extremely sad. And since then, Twitter's and most other algorithms were tweaked to lead suicide seekers to prevention platforms instead and to reduce isolation. Isolation can drive people to dark places. This was certainly the case for Takahiro. Had he found someone whom he loved and who loved him, would he have become the Twitter killer? In Japan, when an inmate is put on death row, they get no prior notice of their impending execution until the morning of. For Takahiro, after he was sentenced, he told the Mainichi Daily, "I want to use the time I've left to find a girl." When Takahiro created the hanging pro persona, he also made a second Twitter account, describing himself as a forlorn individual looking for meaning in this world. Maybe that was who he really was, and love would grant him a reason to live. But regardless of his unfortunate circumstances, 9 people dead would demand the price paid both by Takahiro Shiraishi and his victims. Perhaps even more so from the families of his victims. These were the words of one of their fathers.
"Even now, when I see a woman of my daughter's age, I mistake her for my daughter. This pain will never go away. Give her back to me.